This is the Duluth Rundown, episode 44. We're about to get going with our interview with Henry C., but first, a message from our sponsor, Austin Jaro. Austin Jaro is the spot to get anything running related here in Duluth, and they have a brand new location, which is spacious, very, very cool, at 1025 West Central Entrance up by the mall. It's huge, new area. Go check it out. Henry works there, so if you like this interview, he's a useful resource. Thanks to Austin Jaro.
Okay, and we are joined for the interview portion of the podcast with Henry Seeb. Henry, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Henry, tell us a little bit about who you are, kind of, like you ran at UW-Superior, correct?
Yep.
And then, so, like, you know, where did you go to high school? What brought you up to UW-Superior? You're kind of relatively new to the running scene, and we want to talk a little bit about that. But tell us about your earlier days before UW-Superior.
Yeah, so I'm from Stillwater, Minnesota. Stillwater is a pretty well-known running town. That's kind of how I got into running, really. The cross-country team has a big reputation in Stillwater. And actually, my mom forced my brother and I to join cross country in middle school to make friends. And so that's how I started, but it didn't take long for me to like actually enjoy it. I'm from Stillwater. Like I said, big running community there. So that was really the start. And then, yeah, I came up to Superior because I had a couple cousins that went to school here. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what got me turned on to the area. And then, yeah, just figured out, like, hey, I should probably try and continue running. And so I reached out to Glenn, coach at UW-Superior, and here we are 5 years later, and I'm done now. But yeah, that was kind of how I got up here.
So let's talk a little bit about Stillwater, because that is, for a lot of folks who maybe don't know, they have an incredible program there. Their coach is, honestly, he's one of the more famous high school coaches in the country. For those who follow this kind of stuff, talk a little bit about him.
Yeah, Scott is a very interesting guy. He's pretty serious, but also, you know, he's really just a great guy to have as your coach. And kind of crazy. I mean, there were 75 guys on the team, you know, pretty much every year, give or take, you know, 5 or 10. But and he really only ever had one assistant, and it never seemed to be like an issue. He just always had a handle on everything, basically. And even I remember when I was a freshman, even he, you know, I was number, you know, 50 or 60 on the team, and he knew when I PR'd, he knew all that stuff.
Cool.
Nice.
So yeah, really cool to have someone like that, that just, you know, actually is there for you. And like, you can tell, just knows what's going on. And then of course he's very knowledgeable, about running in general. And so since high school, since I've left that program, I've had a bunch of coaches that I've met come up to me and say, hey, yeah, I actually learned, you know, I went to a couple seminars that he taught, and I learned how to coach from your coach, basically, you know. So
cool.
It's cool to see the other side of it, because when I was in high school, I mean, I don't want to say I took it for granted, but I kind of did. It was all I knew, was having this really special coach, you know. And now hearing about it from other people, it's like, wow, I really was in a good situation there.
Henry, was your mom, I guess, aware of the pedigree of the Stillwater running
I mean, program? it was always kind of talked about. They went to state year in and year out before, so she would always read about it in the paper.
Okay.
And that was another thing that we kind of took for granted, like, was being at the state meet. And like, I mean, I was never racing at the state meet, but just like every year they qualified, and it was just like, oh, okay, there it is, you know, we're at state again. But it is really a special thing to be able to do that, as my teammates were forever. So
cool.
I think one of the workouts that I know that he's famous for is the flying 30s.
Oh yeah, yep.
Talk a little bit about those.
Yeah, what's that?
Basically, it's just, from what he explained to us, is that 30 meters is about as far as you can hold your 100% top, you know, max speed for. And then, you know, obviously the more advanced you are, he used Usain Bolt as an example. And he said Usain Bolt can probably do it for 60 or 70 because he is Usain Bolt. But for you guys, 30 is good. So basically we'd go to the track and we would, you know, sprint our 30 meters and then you'd start kind of jogging to the other side. And we would do, you know, one on each straightaway. And he would always be telling us to slow down on the jog over. He would have us take about 3 minutes in between, which is almost harder than the sprint because, you know, you're going 150 meters and you got to take 3 minutes to do it. So just really slow jogging and then just going all out. But yeah, that was always a fun one to do because it's fun to see how fast, you know, you can actually run.
Yeah. That's like a, what, 10-second sprint, 30? I'm trying to do the math. I don't know.
That's like, I mean, even like five. It's okay. Not much. Yeah. Sure. It's like, I mean, the acceleration. And then the other thing he always said, you know, was to decelerate, you know, save your quads. But right. Yeah, it was really just a really short sprint. But like he said, that's why we did it so short is because that's how to build that top speed and make it go a little bit faster.
I feel like it takes me like 20 seconds to accelerate to my top speed anyway.
Yeah, we get a little bit of time to speed up to it, but there.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But yeah, the deceleration was the more important part, I think, for him. Yeah, that's a really cool workout and something that you can kind of almost do just within the middle of a run at times too. You can just kind of do a little 5 to 8 second sprint and then recover, jog for however long you need, and then just continue on with ever your 5 mile run or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And that's one thing that a couple of my buddies and I have done since graduating high school. We didn't really realize how, like, we only would end up running, I think, maybe 3 or 4 miles on those days. So then once we started running a little bit more in college, a couple of my friends and I would like do that and then finish the run, you know, instead of just cooling down a mile or two afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. And so then at UW Superior, what kind of events were you kind of, what was your wheelhouse?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously cross country was 8K. I was never really that great at cross country. I feel like I never really had a real race that showed how I thought I was, you know, how good I thought I was. But anyway, then in track, I focused mostly on the 5K. And then I did the 3K indoors, and then I did steeple too, but that's a really hard event.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the steeple?
You know, when I was, when I first started, I thought it was so cool because Evan Jagger was like really famous and he had just started doing it. And I was like, I thought he was the coolest person, you know, and I was like, oh, I want a steeple, you know, but I don't look as good going over the hurdles as he does, and I'm about 2.5 minutes slower, so that made it a little bit less cool, but yeah, the first couple of years I was really into it, and then I just kind of just was like, man, this is way harder than any race I've ever done. And
yeah, that one beats you up pretty good. I've never done it, but I just, listening to people, that one just pounds you up.
Yeah, the first time I did one, I've never had more sore legs than after I did the first time. It was just like a new level of soreness.
Is that 3,000 meters, right?
Yeah, 3,000.
Okay. And kind of 5K on the tracks, if I'm hearing you right, Henry, kind of you settled in as your main event?
Yeah, 5K was the one that I felt that I was, I mean, it was the one I enjoyed the most and that I was probably had the most success in as well.
Do you have any memories from either your high school or your college years as kind of a standout performance or an exceptionally fun meet or anything like that?
That's a good question. I mean, every year in high school, we had a inter squad race on the track at the end of August, right, kind of kick off the season. Yeah. So that was always really fun. We called it the Twilight Race, Twilight Meet, and the whole guys team ran. And it was like, it was at 8 o'clock on like a Thursday night. And it was like pretty cool atmosphere under the lights.
Yeah.
Which you don't really get to do much in high school. So that made it really cool.
Right.
And so, yeah, that was always a good one that was always really fun.
Cool. And, what was the transition like from, you know, competitive team running in high school and college to post-collegiate?
Yeah, it's definitely different. And it, I guess a little bit extra different too. I mean, I finished college and, you know, I finished in spring of 2020, right when COVID started. Mm. So there weren't really any races. The first race I think I did actually after college was the Fantasy 4K, I think. Must have been. So almost a year after. Yeah, wow. I didn't race for like a year. So it was a little different.
Wow.
And then training in general too was just kind of different because it's not like a practice every day at four. You know, there's not always someone to run with.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely a little bit different. Got to really understand why I want to run rather than just like showing up and doing it. Which I do most of the time want to run. But there are a lot of days where it's just like, oh, I don't really have to go out today.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, it's been definitely interesting. Just trying to figure out, just fit it into the schedule basically.
And now, was it your intention to, you know, graduate and just get out racing post-collegiately, or did you have a plan, I guess, you know, barring COVID?
Yeah, not really. I mean, I had a changing plan forever. I always thought I wanted to run a marathon right away after college. Hmm. And I originally was thinking, okay, well, I'll just run like Twin Cities the fall after I graduate. And then COVID started. But regardless, I was just thinking, man, that would not have been easy to go from a full, you know, full track season to then probably not much of a break to just grinding a lot of miles in the summer to run a marathon. That would have been really tough. So
yeah.
So that was originally kind of my plan, kind of get the marathon out of the way. But now it's more something that I'm kind of looking forward to.
Right.
And so yeah, no real plan, but just kind of enjoying racing.
Sure.
And Henry, you kind of getting prepped for the marathon in a way. You just ran Whistle Stop Half a month or so ago, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
A few months ago now.
So yeah, that was not my best race. I was kind of not the best training going into it, but yeah, that was definitely a fun one. Nice course for sure.
Yeah, it's a good race. And if you was your first half too, correct?
Second. I did one a couple summers ago in Stillwater actually.
Oh, nice.
And so then yeah, Whistle Stop was just my second one.
Yeah, nice. So well, yeah. One thing that a big reason why I wanted to bring you on the podcast, Henry. You know, we have a lot of times we talk with our guests. You know, their folks have been running in the Duluth area for years and years. But you're a relatively new guy to the scene, and so I'm kind of curious, you know, what your take is on the local running scene, not only the races, but just the environment to run in terms of, like, trails and roads and, you know, the different routes that you can go. You live over in Superior, but I'm sure you're running in Duluth a decent amount of time as well. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it may sound kind of weird, but in Stillwater, I don't really ever remember doing any, like, specific, like, trail runs, which, for how much running goes on there, it's kind of surprising there's not more. I know there is, like, there are trails, but we never really did much of that I can think of. So, yeah, when I got to Superior, the first couple of years I didn't have a car, so I did most of my running in Superior, but since I do have a car now, I've been doing a lot more running on in Duluth and just kind of learning the trail system or trying to. It's kind of intimidating when you're first getting out there, even just like the Hartley, like people talk about Rock Knob and like this part of the Hartley, and I'm just like, is it a left or a right, you know? So I just don't know what they're talking about, but anyway, yeah, it's really cool to have such a variety of places to run. And like, you know, Jay Cook's right down the way, and then there's just a million trails in Duluth. So that's been really fun to explore. And I used to really not enjoy trails, but since doing them a little bit more now, I've been kind of converted.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you found a favorite trail or, even just a favorite route, you know, in your time living in, Duluth Superior area, Henry?
Yeah, it may sound kind of weird, but the one I actually been enjoying the most the last couple of years has been the Bull Run Loop in Jay Cook. One of the probably one of the most difficult NMTC races, but
yeah,
that one's it's fun to. I just took a couple of my friends out there this fall that hadn't been on it before, and I warned them about the hill, but I don't know if they quite understood what I meant by it. But yeah, that's a fun loop to do.
Yeah, it's like hands on knees power hiking for me. I don't know if I don't even know if that's runnable.
It's more efficient, I think, that way than to try and run up it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you did a couple of races this year. I mean, how did they go besides Whistle Stop? What else was on the docket, I guess, Henry?
Yeah. So I did. I mean, I did the couple of the Grandma's races, the Fennessy, the Fitgers, Park Point, and then what else? I think I did a couple of the NMTC in the fall. I was planning on doing them all, but then I got a little banged up and just figured I'd save it for Whistle Stop. But they were actually really my first. I mean, I did Park Point a couple times because that was outside of the collegiate track season, but I hadn't really had a chance to do most of the other ones. So that was kind of my first real time doing, the Fantasy and Fitgers. So yeah, it was kind of cool. And it was a little different. We ran in waves, so it wasn't quite the full experience, but it was definitely fun to do, fun to see the other courses and stuff. So yeah, that was always a good time. And then, yeah, the NMTC series, running trails is one thing, and then trying to run fast on them is a whole different thing, especially when just for the first time when we did that first race, I was like, I felt, you just feel like you're flying because, you're dodging roots and rocks and whatnot.
Right.
But it's really not that much faster than most runs, but it's a really good time for sure.
Yeah. And as we kind of close the chapter of 2021 and look on to 2022, do you have races on your calendar? I mean, what are you looking forward to next year, next season?
Yeah, I think I'll probably sign up for the KP Challenge again, do those three. And then for sure, I'm planning on doing Grandma's Marathon, so that'll be my first marathon there. I'm planning on hopefully staying healthy this winter and getting some good training in for that. And then another one I would like to do that we haven't been able to do the last couple of years is the, I think it's called the Firefighters 10 Miler. It's the race in Thunder Bay that I went up to a couple of years ago and did. And that was a really, really good time. But that we haven't been able to get up they haven't had it the last couple of years. So hopefully they have it again next year. But that one's a fun one. And it's like really nice, like 3 weeks before Grandma's, three or four, I think. So it's a pretty good time to get in an effort like that. So that'd be kind of fun to do.
Yeah. You're signed up for Grandma's, Henry.
Yes, I am.
Very exciting. First marathon.
Yeah, should be fun. A bunch of my friends from high school are doing it too, so that'll be even more fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you kind of...
How's your winter running been going so far?
Well, until today, I don't know if you'd even call it winter. But no, it's been good so far.
True.
Just, I'm still kind of, I took a lot of time off after Whistle Stop to try and get fully healthy and healed. So I've been doing actually a lot of swimming too, and some biking as well, but yeah, I'm starting to kind of ramp up my running again. I don't know how much I'll really get into this winter, but hopefully just trying to stay healthy through the winter and get to February and March in a good spot to kind of ramp it up again.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a pretest this time of the year. You're just kind of getting prepped for the real training.
Exactly, yeah. So just getting some sort of base before the base almost.
Yep.
That's interesting that you mentioned swimming and biking. Henry, do you have any, I guess, strategy when it comes to if you do have kind of a little something going on, how to get rid of it, or from a prevention standpoint, any tricks or what's your general strategy for injury prevention?
So I guess I don't really have one. I probably should. But until about 2 years ago, I had been pretty injury free.
Yeah.
But I guess lately what I've been trying to do, obviously I work at a shoe store, so I'm kind of lucky. I get to try a bunch of different shoes. and that is something I like doing, and just trying to see what fits, see what feels good and all that. So there's that, that's part of it. But also, I've been trying to do a lot more just of that, you know, trying to stay, you know, keep my mileage relatively low and trying to just keep on things, you know, whether it's dynamic drills before running. I really don't do much stretching after, which I should. I wish I could say I did, but but yeah, I do some foam rolling and stuff like that, just to try and keep things at bay. Yeah. But now I've got, since I'm not, you know, racing every weekend like I was in college, I can really like afford to, you know, take a day off if I feel something that right. hurts, which is kind of a luxury I didn't know I was missing out on. So that's another thing too, just like listening to my body, and if something hurts, just not pushing it.
Yeah, right. It's so interesting to hear different people's approach to injury prevention, because it's similar themes, obviously, but everyone has their own different kind of recipe a little bit.
Right, yeah, for sure. And that's the thing. Everyone's a little bit different, so whatever. Not everything. If there was a one-stop shop for what would fix everyone, that'd be really nice, but...
Right.
But unfortunately, we're all just a touch different.
Yeah.
Well, Henry, we have you listen to the podcast quite a bit, and a lot of times we talk to, when we talk to people, we ask them about some of their running mentors and kind of what people who maybe inspired them getting into the sport. Who are some of yours? Did you have some people that you really looked up to?
Yeah, so, I mean, we already kind of talked about my high school coach, Scott Christensen, but yep. He was definitely someone I looked up to. He just seemed like this, someone that knew everything, and turns out he knew a lot, you know, so even growing up and realizing he was really a good person to have leading me. But, and then when I was a freshman in high school, one of our senior captains, was actually the state champion that year. His name is Wade Hall. And he was someone I always looked up to when I was younger, because I mean, how do you not look up to the state champion you see every day, you know? So anyway, yeah, that Wade's another one. And then, the last couple of years, I work at Austin Jaro. So Jaro's been someone I, you know, talk to a lot and listen to his stories of training and racing and whatnot. So he's been another mentor of mine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
definitely a lot of people I could go on with, just the people that, you know, have all these stories that are fun to hear.
Right.
Yeah,
I think you can just learn so much about running and racing just by listening to the stories and almost learning from other people's mistakes or learning from other people's successes, you know, and it's very fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of the best times to learn is actually out on the run, you know, with somebody that maybe has been at it for a little bit longer than you, or even not. Sometimes you can learn a lot from somebody who's younger than you too, and just go out and run and let the conversation flow, and you can pick up some things.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's another thing too, with someone who's a little less experienced, is they may not think like, oh, well, you don't have to run every day. And I used to, you know, think, oh yeah, running every day, you have to, you know, otherwise you won't get in shape. And now it's like,
right. You know,
people just, oh, I didn't run yesterday. I'm like, oh, really? You can do that? So yeah, definitely. You can learn a lot from a lot of different people.
Yeah, for sure.
So besides Grandma's Marathon and in the marathon in general, Henry, do you have any, I guess, bucket list races or bucket list types of races, distance, anything like that?
I never have really wanted to do an ultra marathon. So I think the marathon is like, I think that's such a perfect distance. You know, it's plenty far, but I don't really see, I don't see myself going much further than that.
Mm-hmm.
I have been kind of thinking about doing some triathlons maybe in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know, maybe I don't want to say anything that I don't want to commit to anything, but, you know, the Ironman distance in triathlons always a big one that everyone talks about. So, maybe someday I'd do something like that, but for now I'm going to stick with one marathon and just the running for now.
Right. Or what about marathons? I mean, do you have aspirations to go to Boston or anything like that?
You know, I'd like to do Twin Cities someday. Being from, you know, the city's area, that'd be a cool one to do. And then I don't know if I necessarily want to do something like Boston or Chicago, but I think it'd be cool to do one of, you know, the big three of New York, Chicago, or Boston. Mm-hmm. You know, make a vacation out of it. That'll be something fun to do for sure. Great. Not sure which one, but Chicago sounds like the nicest course, you know, most favorable. So maybe Chicago would be a good one to do.
Right.
But yeah.
Cool. Well, I don't know, Mike, do you have any other questions?
Gosh, I can't think of anything else. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Henry, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to stopping into the new store and saying hi. I haven't been up there for a little while, so.
Yeah, you'll have to come check it out. It's a nice, it's a lot more spacious. It's pretty nice so far.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, well, thanks again, Henry, and we will see you down the road.
All righty, sounds good.
Thank you.
Episode number 44 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. I
want to thank Austin Jarl for sponsoring the podcast as usual. I want to thank Henry Seed for being our guest. Mike, thank you for putting this whole thing together. And
for sure.
Good luck, everybody, with the rest of your training.
See you in January.